Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 36, up on the board is text 39, is that correct? Yes, 39. I'll just quickly read the Sanskrit and the translation. Is that all right? Text 36. Shri Shukuvacha Tadviksha Vyasanam Tasam Kripaya Brishapidita Sarvabhuta Sahrideva Idam Aha Satim Priyam. Translation. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, Lord Shiva is always benevolent toward all living entities. When he saw that the living entities were very much disturbed by the poison which was spreading everywhere, he was very compassionate. Thus he spoke to his eternal consort, Sati, as follows. Shri Shiva Uvacha Aho Bhata Bhavanye Tat Prajanam Pashya Vaishasam Kshiroda Matanod Bhutat Kalakutad Upastitam. Translation. Lord Shiva said, my dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Asang prana paripsunam vidheyang abhayang hime etavan hi prabor arto yadina paripalanam. Translation. It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly is the duty of the master to protect his suffering dependents. Now the verse for today. 39. Pranai svai pranina panti sadhava kshana bhangurai baddha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshva atmana atma mayaya pranai svai praninak panti sadhavakshana bhangurai badha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya pranai svai praninak panti sadhu vakshanna bhangurai badha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya pranai svai praninak panti sadhavakshanna bhangurai baddha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya.
Thank you.
ladies. Pranai svai prani nakpanti. Sadhu Vakshana Bhangurai. Pranai. By lives. Svai. Their own. Pranina. Other living entities. Panti. Protect. Sadhava. Devotees, kshanabhangurai, temporary, badavaireshu, unnecessarily engaged in animosity, bhuteshu, unto living entities, mohiteshu, bewildered, atmamayaya, by the external energy of the Lord. Translation. People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the characteristic of a Vaishnava. Paradhukatuki. A Vaishnava is always unhappy to see the conditioned souls unhappy. Otherwise, he would have no business teaching them how to become happy. In materialistic life, people must certainly engage in activities of animosity. Materialistic life is therefore compared to samsara dhavanala, a blazing forest fire that automatically takes place. Lord Shiva and his followers in this parampara system try to save people from this dangerous condition of materialistic life. This is the duty of devotees following the principles of Lord Shiva and belonging to the Rudra Sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and the Rudra Sampradaya is one of them, because Lord Shiva, Rudra, is the best of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Indeed, as we shall see, Lord Shiva drank all the poison for the benefit of humanity. Om Agyanate Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Suvadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Prita Bhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchaka Paturyubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Namaum Vishnubhadaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamani Namaste Saraswati Devim Guruvani Pachanini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschate Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukungaroti vacha lang pungang langete girimnya kripa tamaham bande shi gurum dinatana paramananda madam shi chaitanya ishvara. Hare Krishna. We say these mantras before we speak because we do not have any qualification personally to speak, but by the mercy of the previous acharyas, our own spiritual master, Krishna, Radha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our disciplic succession, then even though we have no qualification, they somehow or other empower us to speak. So I'm praying for that, that I'll be able to speak something. Otherwise. Pranai swai pranina panti sadavakshana bhangurai baddha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya. Translation, please repeat. People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. So this is the essence of the missionary spirit, as Prabhupada has imbibed in us, this idea of saving the living entities and having compassion on them. Yesterday we touched about this point about compassion a little bit, and I'll go into that a little further. In 1976, as I was preparing to go to Brazil to open temples there, I wrote to Srila Prabhupada and gave him an idea of what I wanted to do, you know, to travel and preach like that. And he wrote me back a very nice letter, which imbibes the spirit, missionary spirit, and I'd like to share that with you, that letter, okay? My dear Jagajivan Das, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter, dated the 27th of July, 1976, and a note of the contents with care. I am very pleased that you have taken up this mission of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. This is the wish of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that yare dhako, tare kaho, Krishna upadesh. Everyone you see or meet, tell him about Krishna. Amara agyai guru hai, tare desh. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7:128. And by my command, you become a guru and save this land. This was the mission of my Guru Maharaj, and it is my mission. You will perfect your life if you make it also your mission. People everywhere are suffering on account of being led by blind leaders who are devoid of all knowledge of the soul. Such foolish men lead other foolish men, and all concerned suffer. Andarya tandair upaniyamana. When one blind man leads another, the result is that both of them fall into the ditch. Therefore, there is a requirement for a section of society to become first-class men, free of the influence of the modes of material nature, who can understand the mission of this human form of life and who can teach it to others. I am trying to create these men, but it is hard, for people have become lost of all intelligence due to the coverings of the three modes of material nature. So I am one man alone, he says. Yet now there are so many nice boys and girls like you to help me push on this movement in my old age. I thank you very much for your sincere efforts, and you have my blessings that you will without a doubt be successful if you stick to the regulative principles and chant at least 16 rounds a day. Surely Krishna will recognize your service, and as soon as you are recognized by Krishna, then your life immediately becomes perfect. So continue your preaching all over South America and try and present this Krishna consciousness as it is without any change or speculation. And distribute as many books as possible. For this will have a very great effect on the lives of all those who are fortunate enough to receive them. I hope this meets you in good health, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So this imbibes this mood, Prabhupada's missionary mood. He was not content just to stay in Vrindavan and sit there. Certainly, his meditation on Krishna in Vrindavan is unbelievable and unparalleled, was so strong. But he came at the very advanced age of 69, I think. It was in the 69th year, 69-70. Explained when he came off the boat, he came off the gangplank, and he didn't know whether to turn right or to left. With no money, no help, nothing, just by the mercy of Krishna, he was able to influence the whole world in his Krishna conscious career as the greatest missionary. And he was, due to this compassion, Prabhupada writes in this letter about perceiving suffering. You cannot be compassionate unless you perceive the suffering of others. And Prabhupada explains in many places that perception of suffering is not on the material platform. That he condemns. Rather, their spiritual suffering. How they are being suffering. And does anyone know the definition of compassion?
The dictionary. Definition.
I just wanted to know if someone had it. Merriam-Webster, Prabhu, says, sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, together with a desire to alleviate it. Very interesting definition, as far as we're concerned. So, by perceiving how the living entities are suffering, and this letter for me was telling me that I should understand how they're actually suffering. Even a person who is, it seems, is very wealthy, is very well-to-do, has everything he needs, like this, he is also suffering. As Bhrigupati Prabhu was Archita was trying to explain yesterday, also pointing out. So they're also suffering, you know. So devotee means he is always anxious to uplift them and help them. Here the word panti is given, and which means he wants to give them protection. Since the onslaught of Maya is there, devotees protect others by giving them transcendental knowledge. So our book distribution is very important because we are giving them the protection they need with this transcendental knowledge. Very important. Okay. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Okay, I'll speak a few words about Gopal Bhatta. He was, of course, one of the six Goswamis. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and at a very early age, his parents were South Indian Brahmins. His father was Venkata Bhatta in South India, Ranganath worshippers. When Lord Chaitanya made his tour in the South, he came to their temple. Thousands of Brahmins were chanting Vedic hymns in the temple, and in the midst of this, Lord Chaitanya, effulgent, golden effulgence, comes into this assembly. Venkata Bhatta automatically feels ecstasy when he sees the Lord. He shows ecstatic symptoms. And he invites Lord Chaitanya to come and stay with him because it was the beginning of Chaturmasya. Similar to this time, now is the beginning. So he came and he stayed with them for the months of the Chaturmasya. And little Venkata Bhatta, who was, he was born in 1503, Gopal Bhatta, I'm sorry, little Gopal Bhatta, was, I think, that was in 1511, I think it was, so he was like 8 years old, something like that, very young at the time. So he would be very anxious to serve the Lord, and he had during those months so much association with the Lord. When the Lord is about to leave, he's preparing his things for leaving. The devotees are all feeling great separation already, and Gopal Bhatta, he offers dandabats and he insists that the Lord stay more. He couldn't have the Lord leave. It was too much for him. So the Lord stayed more time, more days, just to appease little Gopal Bhatta. And he would give him the instruction of that after his to take care of his parents. He said, "You should take care of your parents." That was his service. He was given the first service: take care of your parents. You know, don't neglect them. And you make, because he was very anxious, even at that young age, to go with Lord Chaitanya, to be with him. And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, wait till they leave, and then you may come." So he did that. He waited until his parents, who were great devotees, and they meditate on the Lord at the last minute, you know, they on his lotus feet, and they became perfect, their lives. Then at the age of 30, I think, he was 30 at the time, he went to Vrindavan because Lord Chaitanya had instructed him to take shelter of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya was still present on the planet at the time, and he heard about, because Rupa and Sanatana had wrote to Lord Chaitanya explaining him about the arrival of Gopal Bhatta. And Lord Chaitanya then sent him his, I think his chadar and other of his paraphernalia, his kopins, his chadar, different, and his hoki, which is like a wooden platform where the sadhus would sit on wooden, small wooden platform. So Lord Chaitanya had a hoki himself, and he sent the hoki to Gopal Bhatta. So this was like, you know, this was like, these are worshipful items. These items are still there at the Radha Raman temple that Lord Chaitanya sent to Gopal Bhatta. So in this way, the Goswamis accepted him as one of their brothers. And Gopal Bhatta, then he wanted to worship. The other Goswamis were worshiping deities, and he wanted to also worship. So he went to the Gandaki River, and there he put his loda in the water to get some water out. And some Shilas jumped inside his loda as he was taking water out. So he threw them back in. Oh, this is on. They came again. They came. He threw them back in. The third time they came again, and he said, "Well, this must be Krishna's arrangement. What can I do? They're so stubborn. What can I do?" So he took these 12 Shilas back to Vrindavan to worship these 12 Shilas. Mm-hmm. At the time, he would put them to bed to rest, and he was meditating that the other Goswamis, they have deities in the form of deities. Not only that, but someone had come to him and given him crowns and clothes for a deity, you know, for a physical deity. So he was a little in a quandary. I have all these things to worship Krishna like this, but I can't do this with the shalagrams. They're different, you know. So one, thinking like this, one night he puts the deities to bed. He would put the deities to bed by putting them, covering them with a straw basket. That's how he would put them to rest. So he put them rest like that. Next day he woke up and he uncovered the deity. Here was Radha Raman, a beautiful, small deity of Krishna, so beautifully formed. Very small deity, but very, very beautiful deity of Krishna. They had come from one of the 12 shalagrams, the Damodar Shila that he had. He had self-manifest from this deity, from this shalagram. So he had this. And all the paraphernalia he had for the deity he was able to use for this deity. All the Goswamis came when they heard, and they came and to see the deity, Sanat and Rupa Goswami, and they held the deity. So such a beautiful day. They were so much in ecstasy. So like this, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was very famous. This Radha Raman deity you can see today. You can go and take darshan of him. He was one of the only deities that stayed in Vrindavan. Most of the deities went to Jaipur, but he stayed in Vrindavan. I guess he's so small that he was easy to hide. You know, they couldn't find him. But even though he's very small, still he is one of the most dear deities in Vrindavan. He was the most dear deities in Vrindavan. Yeah. So size doesn't matter. What do you say in this case? Many devotees of the Lord were great examples of great preachers. He also is famous for his Hari Bhakti Vilas, this Satkriya, Deepika. This is also on deity worship. There's a lot of, and samskars. It's said that Sanatan Goswami was the author, but he didn't want to put his name on it, so he said he had Gopal Bhatta. And was it Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami who Chaitanya Charitamrita, who was he had asked not to put his name in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's only a small mention in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Gopal Bhatta. But he is one of our six Goswamis we sing about. Another great devotee who I was just reading about was, and Prabhupada gives the example, I wanted to say something about this missionary idea. Those who save others, you know. And we think of, sometimes we think of Jesus Christ as having that compassion and mercy, you know. And I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'd like to read a little something about Vasudev Datta and his consciousness, which was, I think, was very amazing. When he went to see Lord Chaitanya praised him with 1,000 mouths, it's explained. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him, Vasudev Datta immediately became very much embarrassed and shy. He then submitted himself, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudev Datta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition which I wish you would accept." He wanted to ask him one thing. Prahlad Maharaj has a similar prayer. "My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful. If you so desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head." Jivera dhukud deki mora hridoy bidhare. Sarva jivera papa prabhu deha mora shire. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. Whew. Heavy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudev Datta Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced, even when compared with Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions, but Vasudev Datta is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So the comparative position of Vasudev Datta is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudev Datta Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vasudev Datta knew very well that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original personality of Godhead, transcendence itself, above the material conception of illusion and maya. Lord Jesus Christ certainly finished the sinful reactions of his followers by his mercy, but that does not mean he completely delivered them from the pangs of material existence. A person may be relieved from sins once, but it is a practice among Christians to confess sins and yet commit them again. By getting freed from sins and again engaging in them, one cannot attain freedom from the pangs of material existence. A diseased person may go to a physician for relief, but after he leaves the hospital, he may again be infected due to his unclean habits. Thus, material existence continues. Srila Vasudev Datta wanted to completely relieve the conditioned souls from material existence so that they would no longer have an opportunity to commit sinful acts. This is the significant difference between Srila Vasudev Datta and Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great offense to receive pardon for sins and then commit the same sins again. Such an offense is more dangerous than the sinful activity itself. Vasudeva Datta was so liberal that he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to transfer all offensive activity upon him so the conditioned souls would be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. This prayer was certainly without duplicity. Vasudeva Datta's example is unique, not only within this world, but within the universe. It is beyond the conception of fruitive actors or the speculation of mundane philosophers. Due to being illusioned by the external energy and due to a poor fund of knowledge, people tend to envy one another. Again, we come back to this verse we just read, how everyone is inimical to each other. Because of this, they are engaged in fruitive activity. Because of this. And they try to escape this fruitive activity by mental speculation. Consequently, neither karmis nor jnanis are purified. In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are kukarmis and kujnanis, bad fruitive actors and bad speculators. The Mayavadis and karmis should therefore turn their attention to the magnanimous Vasudev Datta, who want to suffer for others in a hellish condition. No one should consider Vasudev Datta a mundane philanthropist or welfare worker, nor was he interested in merging into the Brahman effulgence or in gaining material honor or reputation. He was far, far above philanthropists, philosophers, and fruitive actors. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudev Datta. As the perfect Vaishnava, he was paradukaduki, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such a great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified, and all conditioned souls are also glorified. As Narottam Das Thakur confirms, Vasudev Datta is the ideal devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Korangera sangigane nitya siddha karimane sajaya brajendra sutta pash. One who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee engaging in the deliverance of the total population is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Namo Mahavagnaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Ghora Trisei Namaha. Such a personality factually represents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his heart is always filled with compassion for all conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Wonderful. It's very apropos for this verse. Compassion, paradukha dukhi, Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Very, very significant. So this idea that even the idea of saving oneself, the devotee doesn't have. He just wants to save others, help others. He's completely magnanimous. His heart is open. He wants to help others, but not saving the clothes of the drowning man, rather to save the soul of the person who is suffering in this material world. So that is the missionary spirit. We can even say that, practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada was even more merciful than Vasudeva Datta, because he actually went and did it. You know? He went and he physically went and to save all the conditioned souls. So anyone came in contact with Prabhupada, he immediately wanted to purify them. He immediately wanted to purify their misconceptions, their bodily consciousness, you know. That was, if you fell into his web, you know, you came sort of near, he would pull you in, you know, and he would purify you automatically. Once in 1973, I'd come here to L.A. with another purpose, of course, but I came and Prabhupada was here at that time. And I had cooked for him eggplant parmesan, by the way. And I went to find Shruti Kirti, who was his servant at the time, to tell him I had made this preparation for Prabhupada. So at that time, they said, Shruti Kirti's in the garden, Prabhupada's garden here. So I went in the back to the garden, and there was Shruti Kirti, and I saw Prabhupada was having a massage by Satsarup. He was giving him a massage. And I quickly, quietly went to Shruti Kirti and told him, please include my preparation I made on Prabhupada's plate, please, you know. So then I started to leave, you know, thinking, well. So Prabhupada saw me, and he went like this. Come on. So he motioned me for to sit in front of him. So I sat on the grass in front of him, and Prabhupada said, give him something to sit on. He didn't want me to sit on the grass. So he had someone bring something so I sit on it. And Prabhupada, perfect gentleman, you know. So I said, oh, now I have to surrender to Krishna somewhere or other. Oh. So before, we have different mayas, you know, and my maya was to observe things, you know, look at things, you know, the eyes, you know, the vision of things, the gratification of looking at things like that. So Prabhupada looked at me, he said, when God sees, you see. When God sees, you see. Accept or refute, he said. And I took the quick way out. I said, well, Prabhupada, you're my spiritual master. Whatever you say, I accept. I thought I was off the hook, you know. But then Prabhupada looked at me and said, but how do you accept? He said, how do you accept? So the speculation machine of my mind started. I said, well, the best answer I could come up with, when Mahavishnu glances over the material and energy, the sense objects are created. That was my answer. That wasn't the answer he was looking for.
At the same time, Satsarup, who's giving Prabhupada a massage, is going like this. And when you're in front of Prabhupada, you lose all your intelligence and, you know, you can't understand. But he was trying to give me a hint, you know. So then Prabhupada says, no, one of the eyes of Krishna is the sun, and the other eye is the moon. So without the light, you cannot see. So your vision is dependent on Krishna, like this. So then I realized that my sense gratification of looking at things was dependent on Krishna. Otherwise, this is a dark world. If you take away the light that reflects everything, it would be dark. It is a dark world. So we're so much dependent, even now, on Krishna in this way. So in this way, I was trying to avoid, but Prabhupada saw me, and he immediately brought me in, and he purified me. And there's so many examples. This has happened to so many God brothers and devotees, and others who were not even devotees. You know, Prabhupada would just like, you couldn't escape Prabhupada purifying you, you know. And that purification exists even today for those who take shelter of his words. As devotees, we should continue to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada in his instructions, in his books. Also, his followers. His followers can give us guidance and direction. We should, in many temples, they have a mentor program. So when someone comes to the temple, a new person, he has a mentor, some devotee that helps him go through the ropes, as we say, of Krishna consciousness, you know. And he can take advice from that person. That person will help him in his Krishna conscious career as a devotee. So that's important. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should do this. Take shelter of someone, a superior person who can give you guidance, you know, and help you. Sometimes we think because we're older men, in Prabhupada's times, if you were 3 years around, Prabhupada was mentioning anybody 5 years or under, but when I told Silvas, I said, well, when we were new devotees, 5 years was like, that was the oldest devotee, you know, in the movement. Yeah, you were like, you know, a great sage or something. But the principle is there that we should try to seek advice before doing things. In our lives, we come to different moments, and we should take advice on what to do at that time. If we're older men, we should also seek guidance from God brothers, from respected Vaishnavas, and not do things whimsically. Rather, we should take advice and counsel from others. And then we will make the best decision about what to do. And of course, Prabhupada is also giving instructions through his books. Many instructions are there. As those who are into his books will tell you, the books are living, dynamic, and they can give you instructions and help you in your spiritual life just by reading these books. It is very mystical. It was a very mystical experience, but it is true. And we've seen this. I'm sure many of you have understood this, you know. So this verse is very, very important verse. And it explains what a Vaishnava, what a devotee is and what he should be. And I try to explain a little bit about how one should feel compassion, and which is very important for Sankirtan. If you want to distribute books, you must understand that you're helping people who are suffering. If you have that genuine, you know, just like in a hospital, people suffer in the hospitals, you know. So if you help them, you know, it's from their suffering. But you must perceive their suffering, really. Because if you think, oh, they're okay, I'm suffering, you won't be able to help them. You won't have compassion. You know, you won't have any compassion. So you must perceive that. And once you perceive that suffering, you can feel to help them. Actually, this word, compassion, comes from a Latin word is sympathia, like sympathize. You can sympathia, like that. You can sympathize with that suffering. And the definition sort of brings you to that point of understanding. Not only you recognize it, but you think how you can alleviate it. And so that's what a devotee does, you know. And the best way to do it is through transcendental knowledge, by giving them knowledge about who they are. The lost children. There's this idea of the lost children for those Peter Pan enthusiasts. So we're all lost. And we can be found again simply by helping people. We can bring back the lost to through this distribution of transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So are there any comments, questions? We don't have a lot of time, but that doesn't matter. We'll just... Because once you sit here, you can do any, you can do anything you want, you know. Right? I can do anything I want. Except Ramaharshana Sutta couldn't do anything he wanted. He tried to. But Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing that beautiful letter with us. And, most of the times, a lot of devotees sometimes, those who go and meet people outside, probably came across with this, at least that I can remember, few times or many times, people ask me, why do you do this? Do you really feel happy or do you really have compassion? And I checked myself and I thought, do I have compassion? That's a very deep word. You have to be serious when you answer correctly. So the thing that came to my mind was that actually I'm just acting under the orders of someone who had compassion. Someone who had compassion, like in this case, our founder Acharya. Huh. He had humility and he had compassion. I myself am trying to develop those qualities and I'm acting on his behalf. Now my question is, in this verse, Bada Vaireshu Bhuteshu Mohiteshu Admamayaya, we've seen that sometimes people, you know, in our language, in our Vaishnava language, we have the highest regard for welfare activity, spirituality of the soul. But when we go out there, you also meet people that say, you know, I don't give to religions, I will give to the poor. And I met one man, he said, I can give to the rivers, I can give to for saving this and saving that. And then the mind comes to think, well, Mother Teresa, she was very famous. And immediately you capture people and the government can give you a lot of help if you help someone like that. In our case, it's like, you know, I just wonder, can you comment on this a little bit, if you want?
Well, the Bhagavatam explains that there are different religions that propose different things concerning spirituality, but they're really not spiritually oriented. They're oriented along the lines of that of the, we're this body. Whenever I have an interfaith opportunity to preach in interfaith meetings, I just preach about how we're not this material body because most religions don't understand that. So the basic understanding, I mean, Krishna consciousness 101, as we say. The first thing you learn is that we're not this material body. And others cannot even grasp that. You know, and they feel that mundane philanthropic activities are actually spiritual, although they may be in the mode of goodness, and certainly someone in that mood can be, is good, what is it, fodder or good terrain for making, you know, making devotees very pious, really, peaceful and pious. Therefore, the, let's say, social activities, the Krishna consciousness movement, can be seen in different ways. We see them as helping the soul. Others may see them as philanthropic activities. So Srila Prabhupada, he at different times presented our spiritual activities as socially uplifting philanthropic activities like Food for Life, these things. So in this way, it was somewhat of transcendental cheating, let's say, whereby they were encouraged to help, but they were actually helping the souls of those who were benefited by those programs, you know. Prabhupada also, at times, he was also very compassionate on some people who were poor. Like, it wasn't black and white that he was only interested in those who were, and certainly in Mayapur and our temples, he didn't want anyone to be without prasadam. He wanted no one around. How many miles? I think 10 miles, whatever. Around the temple should not be wanting of food. You know, so there is a concept that, of course, our food is spiritual. There again, what we give people is spiritual. No devotee here is engaged in material activities. No devotee is engaged in philanthropic activities. Although it may appear that way to the untrained eye, the unknowledgeable may see, oh, this is, he is engaged like this, but it's not that way. You know? So we may say to someone who, on Sankirtan, whatever, oh, we're doing so many things. But we may also say to them, there is a need in society for people to know who they are, to people to overcome death. There's a need for this. People are suffering due to the bodily identification. That is our purpose. We should feel that as our purpose. We shouldn't feel that it's something, you know, ethereal, theoretical, or something like that. No. We should be convinced that this will help them. You know. And as you said, if you don't feel it, you could at least give them someone who does feel that, and that's Prabhupada. So therefore, even someone who distributes books who has no knowledge of, you know, he's perfect, because even though he has no full realization, he's able to give it the Prabhupada's realization. So that even he can be, is someone who's transmitting transcendental knowledge. Yeah. Are there any other? Hare Krishna, you have a question? Or a comment? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for me.
What's your name?
Shyama.
Shyama Haribo.
So what about Christian people? How they pay? They will pay their bills at time of death according their beliefs, their religious, or according karma?
What will be their... What will
for
be
example,
their,
they don't
what
believe...
What is the fate?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to pay, they're going to experience that we call karma according to their beliefs, their religious, or our religious.
According to the Narada Bhakta Sutra, bhakti, or devotion to God, is in itself praman. It is the authority that gives someone power to overcome material nature. So we see, even in other religions, there are those who become very devoted to God. Okay? So within those particular religious systems, they also can become perfect in some ways by developing unalloyed devotion to God. Our contribution is to explain to others that there is a purity in devotional service, in devotion to God, whereby all other considerations are less. And the consideration of serving Krishna is the most important. So there are nuns, there are priests, there in different religions that have also that dedication to God. We don't say that there's some exclusive Krishna consciousness is some exclusive club that you must join to be able to be perfect. They also can be perfect, you know. Here in what I was reading about Vasudeva Datta, Prabhupada was explaining how magnanimous Vaishnava and this particular devotee was, and he compared to Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was not merciful to his followers. He was. And we consider him, Prabhupada considered him a devotee or a Vaishnava. Okay.
And
They can receive. Yayatamam prapadyantin. As you surrender to God, He reciprocates with you. So they will receive what they are giving to God. You understand? They will receive back from God what they are giving. That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna Shyam. Bhaktapriya Devi Dasi.
I was just want to comment about Mother Teresa. She oftenly was saying that main problem in the world is not hunger of the stomach, it's hunger of the soul.
Ah, okay.
And the heart, that was she told to Radhanath Swami, also he often.
For those followers of Mother Teresa?
About,
Yes, that was... And she had some association with devotees also, so interesting. Interesting. Another comment, question? I want to thank the devotees of the world headquarters here in our world headquarters in New Dwarka Dham. It's been many, many years since we've been here. I can't even think of the last time I was here, but it was many, many, many years, maybe decades, from 30 or something, I don't know. Maybe 3 decades or something. And I'm very encouraged that things are going on very nicely. Your programs are very wonderful. Nice devotees, nice leadership. It's Prabhupada thought of this project as an example for other temples. That was his idea of New Dwarka. And devotees would come here to see the standard of deity worship. So many things, they would come here to learn from New Dwarka. So it's very nice to see that is continuing, you know. As well as the, you know, book distribution. Of course, I think New Dwarka at one time was the champion of book distribution. We want to see that again, if possible, you know, come back. Awaken the sleeping giant of... He's the number one in North America, in the world? Oh, I'm talking about the world. I mean, you know, North America. This is a challenge for you, so go for it. Well, it'll be hard to beat some of these Indian temples, you know, but I think you can. Maybe you can do it, you know. Why not? Get everybody out, you know. Distribute books. Sara, you're the man. Okay, so we'll probably be going sometime in the next few days, and then we'll come back for the Rath Yatra to again associate with such nice devotees. I'm still recuperating from the prasadam in the morning, this breakfast feast. I was thinking, I was eating the nuts and the raisins in the morning and the maha, thinking, eating a lot, thinking there won't be so much prasadam or something, you know, other places, you know. And I got this huge feast, you know. And I said, this is every day you have this? Yeah, every day it's the same. I don't know. I'll have to change my dhoti sizes to stay here. Get a bigger dhoti, you know. Hare Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi. Personal copy.